I've written about what I call the matrix of control that Israel has placed over the occupied territories. I think we've gotten to a point where there's five elements that have either made the occupation a permanent fact of life or are on that threshold. The first element is what we call areas A and B. In Oslo, 1995, in the Oslo II agreement, the West Bank was divided into areas A, B, and C. Area A, which is the dark areas here, that are around the major Palestinian cities, where 90-some percent of the Palestinians live, was supposed to expand out in the entire West Bank. Gaza had a little bit of a different system, but roughly the same idea. Area A would spread out so that after 5 years, by May 1999, everything except the settlements and the military facilities would be under Palestinian control. And then we'd get into the final status negotiations. In fact, what happened is Israel never withdrew. So basically, Area A, that's under full Palestinian control, even though today, it's obviously not, today Israel has a complete control and comes into all these areas. But in principle, at least, let's put it this way. Area A, under full Palestinian authority control, is 18% of the West Bank. Now, the West Bank and Gaza, the occupied territories, are only 22% of the country. So Area A is 18% of the occupied territory. So let's say that after 7 years of negotiations, between 1993 and 2000, all the Palestinians were able to eke out is 18% of 22%. And then you've got Area B, which is other Palestinian populated areas, that's under Palestinian civilian control, civil control, the municipalities and the schools and so on, but that are under joint security control, which really means Israeli military control.
Which area is it?
Area B. The lighter brown, which is another 22% of the West Bank. So 18% is Area A, 22% is Area B, and the other 60%, the 60% that remains, Area C, is under full Israeli control. And it isn't a matter of 40%, 60%, but the 40% of the Palestinians is truncated into 64 little islands. So the West Bank is roughly an area the size of Delaware. So you imagine Delaware with four times the population. In other words, the West Bank has four times the population of Delaware. And then you take a Delaware with four times its population and divide it into 64 islands. And where you'd even fit 64 islands in the Delaware is a question. And that gives you an idea of what's happening in the West Bank and Gaza, which is even more difficult. But Gaza's small, and we can kind of lump these two together. Area A and B then, already that have become permanent, and people have special IDs, and so this already gives you the contours of the Palestinian Bantustan that will emerge. So areas A and B then are kind of the areas that Israel is starting to reserve for a Palestinian Bantustan. Now the second element is the closure. The closure. The closure was imposed, ironically, at the beginning of the Oslo peace process, even in a permanent way. And that is not only that Palestinians can't come into Israel without permits to work, or to pray, or to go to the beach, or whatever. I mean, there's a whole generation of Palestinians that have never seen the sea, which is 45 minutes away. But they're also today confined to their little island. You can't go from island to island today without military permission. And also, Palestinians aren't allowed to drive on the major highways for 2.5 years now. These triangles here are the permanent checkpoints. Then add to this every day a couple hundred what we call flying checkpoints that are spontaneously set up and so on. And what this does, among other things, what this does in terms of control is it gets the Palestinians used to living in this constricted space. You see, this is a nice idea, but it's still too open-ended. So you've got to give this some concrete reality. So once you begin to constrict people's movements within their island, now this is 10 years now, so people are starting to internalize this. For Palestinians, the idea of driving from Jenin to Bethlehem is absolutely inconceivable. You can't do it. So you end up, in a way, reconfiguring the entire society. Marriage patterns. For example, the Christians in Ramallah, Jerusalem, and Bethlehem used to marry each other. But you can't get now from Ramallah to Jerusalem to Bethlehem. So each community has become isolated. So you begin to have marriage patterns within the community. You see, you begin to have family patterns, residential patterns, commercial relationships, everything within the little island that you're living in, and maybe to the next island over. So over the years, you internalize this. You don't even think about ever going to Jenin or to Hebron or something. This de facto really becomes the space you're living in. You induce people to accept a reality much more constricted than they would have accepted 5 or 10 years ago. So I think that's the second element. The third element is what we call the settlement blocks. These are the seven settlement blocks that are sort of Israel's bottom line that it wants to retain. The Jordan Valley, what's called the Ariel Block, around the city of Ariel, right in the center here, that both divides the West Bank east and west, and it creates these cantons then. And Sharon uses the word cantons. His plan is cantonization. It's a word that, he doesn't use the word Bantustan, but he does use the word cantons. And what's interesting is Bantustan is more viable than a canton. A Bantustan is fakey. The Bantustans were never recognized in South Africa by the international community, but the idea was that they would be independent countries. A canton is never intended to be an independent country. A canton is much more conducive to Israel's idea of autonomy. And in fact, I think Netanyahu gave the best definition. He was asked once, where are you going with all this stuff? What do you see? I mean, where are you going? And Netanyahu said, we're going to independence minus, autonomy plus. Somewhere in that range between independence and autonomy is where we're going for the Palestinians. Autonomy isn't enough, we know that, but independence is too much for us. So they said, well, give us an example. Where in the world, what's your model? And he said, Andorra, which sent all the Israelis scurrying to their encyclopedia to look up where in the hell's Andorra, which is, you know, this little principality in the Pyrenees in which it's sort of run by France and Spain together, but it has its own stamps. So it's, you know, that's where it makes most of its money. So that's, in a sense, I think that was the most explicit that any Israeli leader has really said in terms of where the... I think that's a very good definition of where we're going. So that you've got this cantonization. So Ariel then creates this east-west separation, and at the same time, Ariel sits atop the largest water aquifer in the West Bank, so it controls the water. A third settlement block is what we call the Modi'in block, because the city of Modi'in here, which straddles the Green Line, and which is being built as the largest city in Israel, is the anchor for this kind of a buffer area. And what's interesting is even if you look at the map of the Geneva Initiative from last week, that's the That's the liberals, you know, Yossi Valens and Meretz, they keep the settlement block. They keep this, and they also keep, now another settlement area is Greater Jerusalem. So that Jerusalem is being transformed from a city into a region today. Now there's three blocks that make up Greater Jerusalem. It's called Givat Ze'ev block around, there's a settlement city called Givat Ze'ev. The Male Adumim block to the east, and that then divides the West Bank here, east and west, and the Etzion block to the south. So these, now in the Geneva plan, they're much smaller, but they're still there. All the Jewish settlements in East Jerusalem remain, and these, what we call the outer ring, in a more limited way, but still very effectively, around Jerusalem remains in Geneva. So Geneva is Greater Jerusalem plus this block up here. You know, so there's some very real things that Israel is keeping in this most liberal of all plans that you can imagine. And then the idea is, okay, well, you know, since we're keeping that, we'll be fair. The Palestinians will get 22%. And there'll be a land exchange. So what's the exchange for Jerusalem and this area here? What are we offering? Some land here. This is what's in the Geneva map. We'll give them some land in here. So these are like the bottom. Now this can be constricted a little bit if it's labor. These can be actually expanded more if it's Likud. But these are roughly the settlement blocks that Israel has consolidated the settlements. All the settlements in these little areas then that we're going to give to the Palestinians, they're all, they all can go. They're small little settlements. Now they're the ideological settlements. My taxi driver meant that these are the settlements, not these. See, Israel's done something very clever, Sharon has, and he sanitized the settlements in the settlement blocks. Even the Etzion block, they're not considered settlements. They're simply normal, everyday parts of the Israeli of Israel. The settlements are the areas in the Palestinian areas. The settlements in the Palestinian areas that we can dismantle because nobody likes the settlers very much anyway. But we keep these, you see. So Israel's, and this is true in Geneva as well. The Geneva people do not see Male Adumim as a settlement. So there, that's the third element. The fourth element. Now that's all very nice, but we've got to incorporate physically. We have to incorporate the West Bank into Israel. Otherwise, it can be detached. You can have the settlements; they can be dismantled. You know, you can do. You know, areas A and B can be changed. They can be. We have to create a situation where it's impossible physically to detach the West Bank from Israel. And there the fourth element comes in, which is the infrastructure. So Israel's built with American funding, complete American funding. This is Clinton. So, you know, you're not going to get more liberal than Clinton. With American funding, Israel built during the Oslo peace process. While I'm sitting opposite with, supposedly with my partner in negotiations, a $3 billion bypass and highway road system that links the settlements, and especially the settlement blocks, into Israel proper. And the new spine of the country that's being constructed today is called the Trans-Israel Highway. The Highway 6. And that's a key, even though it's not in the occupied area, it's a key. Because most of the Israeli population lives along the coast. Well, you've got these settlement blocks that you want to integrate. And in between, you have a whole corridor that's very isolated, very poor. Nobody wants to go live there. The only town is Rosh Ha'anah. So you've got a whole different, you know, even though it seems that's where Israel can be tricky. Because it seems on the surface you're talking about a European, liberal, democratic state. But in fact, the whole culture, the political culture, the ideology, the national purpose is not at all democratic. And it's much more akin to the tribalism of Eastern Europe than it is to the liberal democracies, civil societies of Western Europe or the United States.